The Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation has a mission of helping to move people and places out of poverty. The foundation supports organizations and networks that work across racial, ethnic, and political differences to foster greater social and economic justice. Want to find out more? Then stay tuned. We will be joined by Gladys Washington, Program Director for the Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation, here on Empowering You. Welcome back. I'm Calvin Patterson, host of Empowering You here on 90.5 FM, WSNC and WSNCradio.org, based on the campus of Winston-Salem State University. Empowering You is a weekly program connecting you to information, initiatives, and people who seek to improve the quality of life of communities here in the Winston-Salem and Forsyth County area. Joining us this evening is Gladys Washington, Program Director at the Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation, located here in Winston-Salem. Gladys, thank you so much for taking time to be with us out of your busy schedule. We appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it, Calvin.
My pleasure. First, tell us a little bit about who Gladys Washington is.
Well, I am a daughter of the South. A daughter of the South with both Southern and Caribbean roots. Born in the South, but raised in both places. And so at my age, I'm a little mixed up because I have both cultures in me. But I'm first and foremost a daughter of the South and went to segregated schools and all of that as a child growing up. And I worked in the prison system for a long time. I ran a maximum security unit at an all-male prison, and at some point decided that I was a part of the problem and not a part of the solution, and went back to school, undergraduate and graduate degrees, and turned my life around, if you will, and began working in philanthropy at a community foundation in Charleston, South Carolina, and then came to, as I was working on my PhD, I came to work at the Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation and started out as a program officer there, and have been there 17 years.
Fascinating. Fascinating. So a child of the South, what state and what island in the Caribbean?
Florida, and some people say Florida is really not the South, but I'll go with that
better.
For that.
We know better.
For the purposes of this conversation, and St. Croix in the Virgin Islands, my family, seven generations there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what school did you go to?
You mean college. College of Charleston, my undergraduate, College of Charleston.
Okay.
My master's in public administration from a dual degree from the University of South Carolina and the University of Charleston.
Okay. Fascinating. So you mentioned your experience, Gladys, as a leader at the maximum security male facility.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm looking at you and I'm saying I'm envisioning Gladys and being surrounded by lots of men in that type of environment. So what prompted you to take that role?
What prompted me to take that role is long years ago. This is years now, because I'm an elder statesman at this point in time. I was a young woman, undereducated and underemployed, with a single mom and a single mom. And it was a way to come out of poverty because it was a job.
We need jobs.
Yeah.
We need the work.
And I took that as a job. And somebody had the great idea that low-income single women could go into penitentiaries and lift the ties, the economic ties for themselves. And I started there as a correctional officer and went up the ladder over time.
That is really inspiring.
Yeah.
Really fascinating.
It's interesting.
So let's, by the way, if you're tuning in, we're here with Gladys Washington, Program Director at the Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation here in Winston-Salem. So let's transition now, Gladys. We've talked a little bit about you. Fascinating and inspiring and empowering. That's the name of our program. But now let's shift gears, if you will, and let's talk a little bit about the Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation. So in our neck of the woods here in the Triad, Winston-Salem particularly, you see Reynolds and derivative of the word, of the name Reynolds, quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So my thought is that Mary Reynolds Babcock had perhaps a relationship to R.J. Reynolds, the tobacco magnate and business person. But I'm assuming, why don't you give us a little background about the Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation?
Well, you assume correctly.
Okay.
Mary Reynolds Babcock was R.J. Reynolds' daughter. This foundation was created upon her death in 1953. We're a 63-year-old. We are still a private family foundation.
Okay.
And it's history. She left a legacy that was very open. And what I mean by that is most rich folk have charitable purposes for their giving. And she was very generous in terms of making the priorities of the foundation for the good of humanity. And that has been translated by her her family, her descendants, as well as the Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation is inclusive in a lot of ways. It is not just family members that guide this foundation on the board. There are a number of community members, African-American, Latino folks on this board that help to guide the decision-making around how that money is used, where it's used, what it's used for.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the programs and initiatives of the Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation. So I mentioned to one of your team members, Susanna Hegner, who played an integral part in making this interview happen, that I live in the neighborhood of where the building of the foundation is. So mm-hmm. I'm one of those folks. I drive past the sign, you know, virtually every day on Renola Road here in Winston-Salem, and you see the sign, Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation. Mm-hmm. And you don't see a 20-story building, by the way. And I say all of that to say that seeing the sign, I assumed, a foundation, they must support animals, or they must support the environment, or they must support something else. You just assume. So if someone said, what does the Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation actually support in terms of its resources, what would be your response, Gladys?
It says in our mission, we support organizations and networks that are helping people and places to move out of poverty and achieve greater social and economic justice in the South. And so what that essentially means, how we operationalize that, is that we work at the intersections of economic opportunity, democracy and civic engagement, and supportive policies and institutions. So the organizations that we support do that work in a number of – in a variety of ways. But we are not a Winston-Salem funder specifically.
Okay.
We're not a North Carolina funder specifically.
Okay.
We are a Southern funder. We work in 11 states in the South. And it is our – we have a set of values around inclusion, around understanding the impact of racism and classism and sexism on our region. And so we our values have shaped how we work. And part of those values are expressed through our entry into places, other places. For example – we are based in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in that nondescript little building out there on Renola Road. But we don't know what's going on in South Carolina. It is our priority to listen to the folk who are doing the work on the ground, to understand where momentum is, to understand who their coalition partners are, to understand what the context is, the challenges that they face, the opportunities that are there.
Okay.
And we follow them. So we often say that while we work in the South, there are many Souths. The context is different based on place.
Makes a lot of sense.
Right.
So if we, if someone is listening to us on our program that we're recording, and they feel that they are in a community with some issue, maybe it's an economic issue, maybe it's a social justice issue, maybe Black Lives Matter have gotten involved, or maybe veterans' needs are not being addressed, or maybe women's needs are not being addressed, or maybe people who are in poverty's needs are not being addressed. And they say, oh, Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation supports stuff like this. I need to contact them and get some money. Is it that simple? Is that what the process would look like?
Come on now. Anyway.
Gladys, it sounds like you're not taking me seriously.
I am taking you seriously. And the process is simple, right?
Right.
The answer may not be.
Okay.
My point is that you go onto our website. We have a portal there, all right, that says this is what we fund and support. Can you fill this out and tell us a little more so that there is a process? We are very transparent, all right? And so if I look at, for example, if I look at your organizational summary that you send me.
Right.
And you are not a fit, you know immediately. We let you know immediately. You may think, a lot of people think they are a fit for foundation support. But oftentimes when you get down to the weeds, you know,
right.
You find out that you're on. Another thing that we do in the spirit of transparency is that we let everybody know who our grantee partners are. And if you're unsure, sometimes call one of our grantee partners. Let them give you an honest assessment of who we are, who they think we are, right? What we do, how we do it, why we do it. That kind of thing. That assessment is very often very valuable.
Makes a lot of sense. Now, a grantee partner would, in essence, be someone who's been a recipient,
yes,
of a grant from the Mary Reynolds.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So there is an application process, and going to the website, which we're going to go back to as far as contact information when we get to the end of our program. But I'm going to shift gears again, Gladys,
sure,
and talk a little bit, if you would, about your specific role as program director, because I've gone to the website, and Mary Reynolds Babcock, the foundation, has quite a good-sized staff with a number of roles and responsibilities. So, all right, so the president, CEO person does this, and the administrative person does that. The folks in between, like a Gladys Washington, who's been there 17 years, kudos. Mm-hmm. What does a program officer do, in your case, at the Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation?
Well, I'm the program director.
Program director.
Yes.
Excuse me.
And, well, you say program officer, that's something different for us. Babcock Foundation traditionally, it's not a traditional foundation in the sense that most foundations have program officers, and they kind of interact with people when they want a grant and do all of that work. Excuse me.
No problem.
And so at the Babcock Foundation, we consider ourselves something else, and it's called network officers.
Okay.
Because we are a regional funder, we have to learn, as I said earlier, context of where people are. We have to ask really hard questions. We have to figure out with them sort of who your partners are. What does it mean? What does your coalition look like? And to say, well, who's missing here? Who needs to be here? We are network officers. And sometimes we are provocateurs. And someone just said the other day that we are evocateurs.
There is a difference.
it's all in the spirit of learning and understanding. We go out as co-learners with our grantee partners. We have not had sort of history of choosing people with a specific specialty, if you will, in terms of education and training. Because we don't have that kind of expertise on staff, and we don't want it. We're all generalists. rather than specialist. And so I've been a network officer for a long time, and I'll tell you about a program officer in a minute.
Excellent. Perfect timing, Gladys, because we are, in fact, going to take a short break and come back with more with Gladys Washington, our guest. Please stay tuned.
You can contact us to share your thoughts and ideas. Our comment line is 336-750-2432. Or send us an email at wsncfm@wssu.edu. You are listening to Empowering You on 90.5 FM WSNC, hosted by Calvin Patterson.
Welcome back to Empowering You here on 90.5 FM WSNC and WSNCradio.org. If you're just tuning in, I'm Calvin Patterson, your host. And our guest again this evening is Gladys Washington, Program Director at the Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation, located here in Winston-Salem. And Gladys, again, thank you so much for being with us, particularly after coming back from vacation and fighting the bug. You're handling it like a champ, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. So prior to the break, you were helping us understand the distinction between program officer and program director, and it was enlightening information in terms of the we actually go out into the community to seek information, as it were, at the grassroots level. So being program director, do you direct the officers?
I do. I direct the officers, and I have a maintain a program role as well. That's where, you know, I started. That's what I'd like to do. I'm part of the management team at the Babcock Foundation. So, yeah, I've been there for a minute. Longevity means a little something. and, yes, I supervise my program team is comprised of my communications officer, all of my network officers as well. So, yes.
Okay.
That's my role.
So let's talk a little bit about the granting process. And I know that it isn't a case of one size fits all, because while there may be a specific process for those who apply and get approved, just because of the variance of organizations and missions and collaborations and partnerships, I'm sure things are different. But generally speaking, let's say that I'm interested in applying for a grant, or we're interested, because if my understanding is correct, the Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation does not grant to individuals. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So let's say that as leader of an organization, a nonprofit organization, mm-hmm. We go to the website, we do some reading, we get familiar, maybe we call some folks to get a little bit more familiar, and we start the granting process. So mm-hmm. we do that initial questionnaire. I think mm-hmm. you called it something different. Mm-hmm. It apparently does fit, at least on an initial perusal, mm-hmm. What Mary Reynolds Babcock is looking for. Mm-hmm. So then after someone there determines, okay, we may have something we can work with here, what happens next?
You will be invited to submit a proposal. You know, there's an old saying that, if you met one foundation, you've met one foundation. All of us want different information, so you will get it.
That is so good. I like that.
Well, it's
I like
old.
That.
It's old. My point is that we ask very different questions than, say, another foundation and another foundation and another foundation. So you are invited to apply. And we let you know after a time whether or not we want to come and see you and learn more, or there's still not enough here. We don't just turn you down and say, no, and send you a letter or whatever. We encourage people to, if you get a declination from Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation, we encourage people to call. Because every declination letter that I sign says at the bottom, call me or my assistant to schedule an appointment first to discuss the declination. Because it might be something simple in that proposal that can be rectified, that can be changed, can be better explained, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
To strengthen it. And we are willing to give people that feedback. But most people don't do it, and I'm really not sure why, because it's a really good thing, I think. But especially I work for the foundation.
I was going to say, especially if you're giving directions and guidance to do this, to get funding, why wouldn't I do it?
Why wouldn't you do it? But trust me, a lot of people don't. So if you move through the process, if you're not declined at that particular point in time, then we began to go on this co-learning path together. And that is that, and we call it due diligence. And so I'm going to come out there and see you. Let's say you're in Georgia, and I'm going to come out there and I'm going to see you.
All the way from North Carolina?
All the way from North Carolina. I know more about Louisiana and Mississippi than I do North Carolina, okay?
Okay.
But my point is that we come to see you. We want to spend some time with you to understand what you're doing, who you're doing it with. If you're standing there by yourself, just, you know, doing this, then most work doesn't happen that way. You can't be a lone stranger.
Right.
You've got to be in partnership with somebody. And I'm not talking about shotgun weddings.
Right.
I'm talking about true collaborations and collaborations and networks that look like multi-strategy, that makes sense and all the pieces are together in some way. They don't have to be all together, but close to.
Understood.
Yeah.
Understood.
And then we take all of that to our board, and they ultimately decide who gets support. One of the Babcock Foundation's sort of hallmarks is that the Babcock Foundation provides general support grants. We do very little project grants.
Okay.
And
so general support, operating, keep the lights on, pay people.
Yep. All of that. Keep the paper towels in the bathroom, whatever it is.
Okay.
We believe that that organizations have a little bit more flexibility when they've got money to move. See, conditions change. Context changes. Funding for nonprofits go up and down.
Right.
If you've got core support from somebody that gives you the power. See, we trust our grantee partners to use the money the way they see fit to use it.
Okay.
And after 17 years at the Babcock Foundation, I don't know of one where there was any malfeasance at all.
Okay.
So it's general support for us.
Interesting. Interesting. So let's talk moving further along in the process. Okay, let's say we get the grant. Reporting requirements.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, in terms of piggybacking off of what you just mentioned, there being no malfeasance, my assumption is, okay, here's the contract. We approve X thousand or hundred or whatever the amount is. Here's what you said you were going to do per the grant proposal. So we have that in writing. All the expectations are laid out clearly.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably some information that indicates specifically here's when you can get the proceeds, how you can get the proceeds, et cetera, et cetera. So we get the disbursement. When do we have to give you a report whether we're doing what we told you we were going to do? Or do people come back out again and say, you said you were going to build some affordable housing. I don't see anything. How does that work?
Well, for us, we have we don't get in. We try to not get in folks' business to the level that we are nuisances. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
And so having said that, we have systems of accountability. It's not that we don't have that. And what we've done is we've listened to our grantee partners over the years who have said, people always make us fill out all these long forms and they don't do anything with them, and it's just a problem for us to do it. And we got that through the Center for Effective Philanthropy through a survey that they did with our grantee partners.
Okay.
And they were honest, and they said, you know, we don't want that anymore. So we changed our reporting guidelines. At the one-year mark, because we do multi-year grants.
Gotcha.
At the one-year mark, I've got five essential questions. Has your plan changed? Has any of your personnel changed? What have you done? And how much money have you spent? I mean, essentially.
Right.
Just those
right.
five questions.
Okay.
One sheet of paper. Just send it to me. I'm good. You
okay.
know? But there is a contingency payment, usually. That's attached to that. But my point is this. We want people to spend their time out there doing what it is they need to do. But
right.
thinking very clearly about the challenges and the opportunities and the context in which they work and how they're going to make things happen, but not be stymied and held back by you know, a bunch of paperwork that nobody looks at.
Makes a lot of sense, Gladys. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about if an application is being processed, and I'm speaking, again, in general terms, how important is it for the Mary Reynolds Babcock team to see in the application that there's funding somewhere else? And to be a little bit more specific, some folks have a perception, real or not, that, well, we're not going to get any support from Entity A unless we've already gotten some support from Entity B or C or D, mm-hmm. because they're not going to give to someone who hasn't already received. Mm-hmm. And if they're the only eggs in the basket in terms of funding our general support or project or whatever, we're not as likely to get support because of sustainability issues. Mm-hmm. So how does having funding from other sources come into play, generally speaking, for an MRB or Mary Reynolds Babcock decision?
Yeah, for Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation, we have had a history of being the first one in. I'll give you an example of that, where we supported grassroots organizations in South Carolina, in Georgia. And the first funding they ever got was from the Babcock Foundation. We're talking 20 years ago, where folks were trying to work together against the racism in those communities, where black folk and white folk came together and worked in a different way. Nobody would support that when they were there. So oftentimes we were the first ones in, right?
Gotcha.
Which then leveraged support from other folk, all right? So we've done a combination. We've done it a combination of ways. We want to see it in certain places, in certain organizations doing certain things, absolutely. But we're not afraid to be the first ones in to leverage other support from other foundations.
That's encouraging.
And we also look at, depending on the type of organization you are, whether or not you have the capacity to earn income.
Okay.
And some organizations do.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that point, Gladys, because when people hear the term or the designation non-profit organization, the perception, be it subliminal or conscious, is, well, we're a nonprofit, so we don't need to think about earned income. Mm-hmm. We don't need to think about revenue. We don't need to think about sales. We don't need to think about making a profit, mm-hmm. because we're a nonprofit organization, mm-hmm. and it's not about the money. It's about mm-hmm. meeting the needs of the community, mm-hmm. whatever they may be. So mm-hmm. you mentioned earned income, and that's
absolutely
making me think, oh, it's okay to make profit as a nonprofit.
Well, you know, the thing is that nonprofits don't make profits. They really don't. What I'm talking about is sustainability.
Okay.
And for us, it's about sustaining yourself no matter who's at the table. You understand what I'm saying? Foundation money goes away. It just does. It's the nature. Foundations change their priorities. They change staff, and then they go another direction. Boards change. They go another direction. But if you are making a certain percentage of your money from earned income, then you are able to sustain yourself in a way until you can replace that funding, right? So it's not about making money. It's about sustainability for the organization. And folk have to be creative about that. Now, a lot of organizations don't have anything to sell, right? A lot of nonprofit organizations do not have anything to sell. Okay, cool. We know that. We understand that, you know?
Right.
Like policy organizations and civic engagement organizations, they don't have anything to sell, you know? But if I'm supporting, for example, a community development financial institution, they have the opportunity to make money. Because they're doing lending,
right?
Right. So, again, it depends on the organization. That, and we say nonprofit, but we don't need to say broke and out of business. Okay.
I love it. Gladys, believe it or not, we are just about out of time. This has been so inspiring and so informative. I really appreciate it. But let's give the listening audience some contact information so that should they want to pursue grant opportunities or just get more information about what Mary Reynolds Babcock does and how they do it and who they do it with, give us a phone number, website address, if you would.
The website is the best way to do that, the easiest way to get to us. I guess they still say www, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, www.mrbf.org. It's the initials for Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation.org.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Gladys, Washington, Program Director of the Mary Reynolds Babcock Foundation. It's been a real joy having you. Thank you for being a guest on Empowering You.
Oh, I've enjoyed you as well, Kevin. Thank you.
My pleasure. Mm-hmm. And thank you for tuning in to Empowering You here on 90.5 FM WSNC and WSNCradio.org. We do come on weekly, Monday at 7 p.m. We certainly appreciate your support. Have a great week.
This has been Empowering You on 90.5 FM WSNC, hosted by Calvin Patterson. You can contact us to share your thoughts and ideas. Our comment line is 336-750-2432, or send us an email at wsncfm@wssu.edu.